The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of the mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. And this week's opening quote comes from John Swinton. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. John Swinton was, of course, a journalist for a London newspaper back in 1880, and even back then, folks, the role of the media was anything but bringing the truth to the people, and things certainly have not changed since that time. We hear very, very little truth from the media, and the state of the world today can be squarely laid on their shoulders, folks. The blame for the state of the world today can be squarely laid on the shoulders of the media in their failure to report the truth and the facts to people, to keep the population informed so that people are able to make informed choices of who to vote for and how to respond to the actions of their politicians. A lot of the stuff that we see in the world today, folks, has been created via the support that it's got from the mainstream media. The role of the mainstream media in the modern world is little more than war propaganda and whatever other propaganda the government can cook up to feed to the masses to get them to comply. The media certainly does not bring the truth to the people anymore. It certainly does not keep people informed, does not act as a watchdog the way it once did and the way it was created to be. I mean, the media was created as a watchdog of government and a watchdog of the world, basically, to keep the people informed of what's going on and to look at things objectively and to present both sides to the people. But we don't see that from the modern media, and it's getting that way as well from much of the independent media, which was originally created to combat the lies of the mainstream media. Unfortunately, we're seeing much of the independent media has now fallen into line with the mainstream media and is simply supporting the same government line. A little bit more constructively in some ways, a little bit more in ways that it still looks like they're speaking out for the people, but in many cases they are simply following the same government agenda. And we've seen some major independent news sources kind of backflip on their original mission statement, if that's what you could call it. Their original focus, anyway, was once freedom and exposing the tyranny and corruption of government, and many of these sources seem to have now fallen behind government and are now pushing the Trump administration. And the Trump administration is, of course, just as corrupt as every previous administration. It's just pushing the same agenda that has always been pushed by these people, and it's been very interesting to see how many independent media sources have fallen into line behind the Trump administration. Of course, there are some that are seeing how much he's revealed himself, and there are some that are trying to backpedal a little bit now and remove support from him, and that's a good thing. But there are still some major people that are really, really pushing his agenda and really banging the war drums to promote this huge conflict of East versus West and basically push forward the same old Freemason agenda of a third world war. This seems to be very much what organizations such as InfoWars are now dedicated to, simply banging the war drums and pushing the same anti-Muslim government rhetoric. You know, let's go and bomb the Muslim countries and vilify all the refugees, and let's blur the line between the refugees that are actually in crisis and the immigrants that are being pushed into Europe, and all of the fear that InfoWars is playing. It's all the same, a government line. But let's just push the government agenda and bang the war drums for the government and bang the anti-Muslim rhetoric and keep everyone distracted and make sure they don't look at the bigger picture. That seems to be what InfoWars and many other independent news sites are doing these days, and it really is a concern. There's actually a clip the other day I saw of Alex Jones where he actually stated on the video that he never said that 9/11 was an inside job. I couldn't believe it. I was hearing it from him. He said, no, I never said 9/11 was an inside job. What I said was that the government left an opening so the terrorists could come in and carry it out. Unbelievable, folks, that he was doing this. I saw another video the other day of InfoWars defending Ann Coulter. And Ann Coulter is a neocon criminal. I mean, this is a woman who has been supporting war and terrorism and racism for years. And InfoWars has actually spoken out against Ann Coulter many times, but now because Ann Coulter happens to be supporting Trump, now InfoWars is saying that Ann Coulter is a wonderful person. So you're seeing all of this backflipping, folks, and all of these political agendas coming into play, and it's really all about trying to set themselves up as the new mainstream and keep the income that they've got rather than bringing the truth to people and rather sticking true to their original values. It really has been quite sad to see the public fall from grace from this once respected independent media company, which now seems to be little more than a new version of the Fox News Network and failing to look at the bigger picture. And this is, of course, all part of the agenda of brushing aside the truth. And that's very much what we're seeing today on the internet, folks, is the truth being swept aside. And when I say it's being swept aside, it's not being blocked. You know, you can still find the truth if you want to. You can still find the websites that you used to go to if you want to. And you can still find the information that you need. You just have to look a lot harder for it. Google and YouTube are very much squeezing it out so that people just can't find it. And as I said, this isn't to say they're blocking it or shutting websites down. They're just quietly sweeping it under the carpet and making it very difficult to find. For example, someone went to use my name to tag one of their videos the other day, and they got a message on YouTube saying that this is not commercially advertisable content and to choose another tag. I've had people comment on my YouTube channel how difficult it is to find my channel. I've had people comment how they have to resubscribe to my channel all the time because they keep getting deleted from my subscriber base. As an experiment, I actually did a search of my name and one of my films on YouTube the other day, Max Egan, The Awakening, and I found that I didn't even find my upload of my film until something like page 5 or 6 of the search. And that doesn't really matter. You would say, well, that's okay. They're still finding the film. They still get the information, and that's all very well. But they don't get to find out who actually made the film, and so they don't get the access to the other content that I have on my channel. And that's the way they do it, folks. You'll find that many of the other channels that have uploaded a Mirror of the Awakening actually have a lot of new agey content on their channels, and so that leads people down that rabbit hole rather than finding the other content of the original author. And it isn't just me, folks. This is happening to everybody. They're making it very, very difficult for people to find the truth and very difficult for people to see it even when they find it, because even people who subscribe to my channels very often do not get alerted to my uploads. And again, folks, it isn't just me, it's other people as well. So they're making it very, very difficult to find the truth. And those sites that were once respected, such as InfoWars, have now subtly changed their message. In the clip where he was defending Ann Coulter's right to free speech, and look, don't get me wrong, folks, free speech is important, and Ann Coulter should have the right to free speech as much as anybody else, but it was just interesting to see InfoWars defending Ann Coulter and suggesting that they even get Blackwater guards to protect her since the police were standing down. So now he is legitimizing the use of Blackwater as well. And this is a private mercenary force, folks, which has carried out terrorism all around the world. Why would you be suggesting that Blackwater is who is used to provide security for Ann Coulter? It's absolutely amazing to see this type of a backflip from these independent media organizations, folks. And using the specter of free speech to do it, to push this subtle change of agenda, is very insidious as well. I mean, sure, free speech is important, and providing security for people if the police are going to stand down is important. But in doing so and promoting free speech, why on earth would you legitimize a criminal organization such as Blackwater in the process? So you look at the subtle undertones of this, folks. It isn't just about free speech and providing protection. It's legitimizing criminals such as Ann Coulter and legitimizing criminal organizations which have no right to exist, such as Blackwater. This is actually supporting private police on the streets of America. What on earth is Alex Jones doing? There also seems to be an awful lot of people pushing the concept that we're about to head into a nuclear war with North Korea, which of course is patently absurd, folks. We're not going to have a nuclear war, and we're certainly not going to have a nuclear war with North Korea. I mean, it's just the United States looking for another person to stomp on and to create another theater of conflict. Of course, it'd be good to have a US base in North Korea, good to surround China in this way. I mean, you can see that all of this is theater, folks. I hope you can anyway. Now, so many of these governments collude with each other to create these situations, to put their populations in fear, just to further their own agendas. And they all work together, folks. There aren't any governments on this earth that are the good guys. They're all the bad guys. That's just the way it is. Government itself is a outdated, misconceived concept. And in its current form, government, all government, is in fact a criminal organization which has gained control of this earth. That's what it is, folks. Now, we've got a criminal cacistocracy that runs this world, and government is the mechanism they use to puppeteer things and to control the population. The question, of course, is what does anybody intend to do about it? Well, what can we do about it? That is the question. In dealing with all of this stuff, folks, that is the question. It isn't just looking at it, it's finding a way out of this mess that we find ourselves in. And it just seems to get worse all the time. Every time you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it just seems to get worse. Things are certainly deteriorating in Gaza and places like this that I've had my eye on so closely for so many years. And this is another thing, folks. You've got to wonder why they don't just end the situation there. I mean, if they're so intent on just killing these people, why don't they just get it over with? And I believe half the reason they do it is just to keep us stressed out about it, to keep us looking and on the edge and constantly in view of this perpetual human suffering that is carried out right before our faces. It keeps us worrying about it. It keeps us stressed out about it. You know, the feeling of impotence that you have, just looking at these people being tortured and suffering so much in front of you and just not being able to reach out and help them, knowing how easy it would be. The sort of a schism this creates in people's minds, seeing the children being bombed in Syria and knowing how easy it would be to stop, and yet the ball just keeps rolling forward. A lot of this stuff, I believe, is a psychological operation as well, designed to keep us feeling this stress and keep us feeling like we are so impotent to change anything. We are just so powerless to change anything. I think that's the sort of emotion that it instills in people, and I think that's its purpose. That is why they don't just go in and end these conflicts as quickly as they started, because they could do so. They have the technology to do so, certainly. And it isn't that they want the conflicts to end, it's that they want the conflicts to continue, and they want the human suffering to continue. Not just because they enjoy human suffering, but also because of the way it controls our mental state out here in the Western world when we're forced to view all of this stuff on the television all the time. It really does take its toll, ladies and gentlemen. And I experience this all the time. Every time I talk to one of my friends in Gaza, there's so much I want to say to them, and there's so many promises I want to make to them, and I want so much to be able to go there and help them, but there's just nothing I can do. And it's a very, very frustrating situation to be in. But again, folks, I think that is much of its purpose, just to keep us in that state of frustration and to make us feel as though we are completely powerless in the face of all this. And the thing is, you know, we are powerless if we face it on our own, but we're not powerless if we face it as a community. And the only way we can do that, of course, is to break down the barriers with each other and to develop communities that are based on respectful relationships with each other. And that's something I've been saying for a very long time, and it's something that we really don't have. And yet you find that the more downtrodden your community becomes, the more people suffer in your community. As these people are discarded, the more tolerance they begin to have for each other. It's a weird thing that when the chips are down, we do seem to find this respect for each other. The question is, why can't we do it when we're living in a situation where we're thriving, where we're prosperous? Why can't we maintain this respect for each other once we have economic security? I mean, some people can, but generally as a society, we don't. you know, once people start climbing to the top of the pile, they start to treat people around them like they're a little bit less than what they thought they were previously to having money. And then, you know, they just sort of treat people like lesser people around them. And that's really not what it's all about, folks. As I've often said, we often measure each other by the size of our front doors, and it's just ridiculous. But there's certainly a lot of other stuff which is more important that we should be dealing with, folks. For those of you who live in Australia, have you noticed that Australia has decided to adopt the US model of Homeland Security? We've got the Department of Homeland Security coming to a police station near you if you live in Australia, folks. They've decided it would be good to adopt the US and UK model so we can have these androids wandering around dressed in black Kevlar, terrorizing the citizens at any given moment, and all sorts of militarized police and sound cannons and all of the other rubbish that they want to bring in to terrorize the citizens with, folks. Of course, they're doing this to keep you safe from terrorism, folks. They're bringing in all of these militarized police and these terrorist police forces to keep you safe from terrorism. You've got to love the logic of that. Really, we need to find some way that the people can protect themselves against the Malcolm Turnbull government and the terrorist police that he is employing. It really is getting that bad, folks. These police are getting very, very out of control in all Western countries, and it just seems to be escalating. And this has really happened to an incredible degree in the last couple of years, folks. We've seen the system ramp itself up like it's on steroids. Now, there's been so many distractions interjected into the response to the system in the last couple of years. And of course, the response has been further divided by the Trump administration. This has been such theatre used to divide and discredit what was left of the independent media, and it's certainly done a good job of that. And there's been all sorts of other mechanisms that have also come into play to further divide and discredit and neuter the response to the system. As I mentioned earlier, the way the truth is being gradually swept under the carpet, folks, this is very insidious the way YouTube and Google are doing this. But they are also working to basically push everybody out in the cold. You know, a few months ago, you may remember, I did a show where I talked about the monetization of YouTube and how this was essentially a psyop. It had been done in order to get us dependent upon the economic model within the resistance. Because, you know, we've always been speaking out against this economic model and against this economic system. But now suddenly, once YouTube became monetized, and that became one of the main focuses of people posting on YouTube, suddenly people started sensationalizing their videos, they started sensationalizing their headlines, and it became all about clicks and views in order to build income. When this happened, I warned people that they were falling prey to the economic model and that this may one day soon turn around and bite them. And it's happened now, folks. What we've seen is that many people have basically given up their day jobs and they've given up any other form of income that they had, and they have become dependent solely upon their YouTube income because people were running pretty lucrative channels there for a while. But now you find that all the real truth is being censored, all the real truth is being demonetized. And so people who have become dependent upon YouTube for their income are now having that income pulled out from underneath them. Of course, this isn't happening to all channels. You'll find a lot of COINTEL channels are still receiving funding, still receiving massive view counts, subscriber bases increasing all the time. This happens to COINTEL channels, but all of the real truth channels you'll find are being demonetized and being slowly pushed away. As I said, this isn't happening to many other channels. You'll find Flat Earth channels, for example, are still receiving massive monetization and still receiving massive view counts and massive amount of subscribers. While again, the real truth channels are having their subscribers deleted and blah, blah, blah. So this is how it goes, folks. People have become dependent upon this economic system within the resistance, and now that rug is being pulled out from beneath their feet. And this has been a very clever play, but a very predictable play. And as I said, something that I called some months ago when I told people to be very, very careful of being too dependent upon their monetized YouTube accounts and sensationalized headlines. The sensationalized headlines of monetized YouTube accounts also, I believe, very much contributed to the creation of the fake news meme that we saw rise in the wake of Pizzagate. But all of this has been a very, very clever psychological operation that has been used to discredit and remove some of the wind from the sails of the response to this system. And it's been very effective, folks. It really has. And even as it's unfolding and continuing to unfold, because people are so dependent upon income, we're seeing so many channels squabbling with each other now and vying for the most attention in order to keep their income. People have very much lost sight of what this whole movement started for. It was never about making a living or a career out of this. It was about changing the world, and it still is. And I think maybe this is good in a way. Maybe the loss of income that's happening, maybe it will cause people to see that we need to regain the focus that we had and not fall prey to the economic system that we are attempting to expose and ultimately defeat and replace. And it's the same with government, folks. Too many people are falling prey to the whole left-right paradigm and are supporting the state. Too many of the independent media have forgotten that the state is not your friend. This whole battle that we're fighting is actually against the state. And it doesn't matter what face the administration puts on. The state is still the state, and the state is not your friend. One thing I'll say about this last election and the period since Trump took office is that it's been fascinating to see how many people have forgotten that one simple fact. The state is not your friend. It really is quite amazing, folks, and it's been amazing to see how much of the independent media has failed in the face of this. It really is, and it's a mishmash at the moment. I mean, trying to find some real news from anybody, trying to find anything that isn't biased with identity politics is almost impossible. There are very, very few people who are looking at things objectively and simply looking at the bigger picture and realizing that it's not about what Trump's doing, it's not about his tweets, it's not about who he's posturing against, it's not about what he's doing on the ground, it's about whether the same agenda is going forward or not. And ultimately, folks, when you look at it, you find that the same agenda is going forward. It really is. Nothing's changed. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's going on the ground to distract people at the moment. There really is. There's a lot of stuff to create division. Even with this Department of Homeland Security stuff coming in Australia, the people are so divided over that. There's people who really believe this is a good thing because they live in fear of Muslim extremists and Muslim terrorists coming and blowing up Australia, which of course isn't going to happen unless the government dresses someone up in a towel and sends them out to blow something up. I mean, that's how all these terror attacks are staged, and yet we've got so many people in the independent media now that are buying into all these false flag attacks and saying it's Muslim extremists when it's not. It's being done by the same people who've always carried out these attacks, and all of these agendas are simply the same agendas that we've seen unfold. Trump's stance in Syria, Trump's stance in North Korea, all this posturing, the posturing against Russia, it's the same stuff, folks, it's the same theatre. And ultimately, I don't even think that there's a problem with these governments. I don't even think they have a problem with each other. I think they all collude together just to create this theatre in order to enslave their populace. You know, make the people think that they need the government to come along and protect them by bringing in new legislation, and that everybody needs to go and join the military and go overseas and kill people that they've never met before. It's ridiculous, folks. But that's what happens, and people just seem to buy into it time and time again. And it's gotten to the point that when it gets so ridiculous that it's so obvious and everyone can see through it, they just ramp it up. They just create a new conflict somewhere else and make it worse, and then people forget that it's all theatre. They forget that what they were just dealing with was a contrived situation when they see a new threat on the horizon. They don't ever stop to pause and think that, well, perhaps this is simply contrived as well. Because they're all contrived, folks. That's the thing. Everything we're fed from these sources is rubbish. Everything we're fed by the government, everything we're fed by the media is rubbish. And I've travelled a lot, folks, I really have. And everywhere I've gone in the world, I've never met anybody in any country who wanted to go and bomb anyone. I've never met anybody who wanted to have a war. The only people who want war are government and bankers. And the problem is that we just buy into what the media tells us rather than ever questioning these situations. And I really think we should step back and look at the situation a little bit more realistically, folks. I mean, it's getting out of control, and it's getting more and more out of control simply because I think these governments are running scared at the amount of people that can see through this facade they're creating. And they've got to ramp the police up, and the only way they can really do it is to use the threat of terrorism. And even though the people don't like it and can see through it, they just let it happen anyway because they're just so cowed and scared, and they live in such disunited communities that they just don't know what to do about it. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it's the division that keeps the system going so effectively, folks. Well, that's what neuters our response to the system so effectively, is the division of our societies. We live in societies where we just can't seem to get along. No matter what we do, we just can't seem to get along. You know, and a lot of this is because of the economic model and the social system. And just because we're kept in a state of scarcity all the time, we've always got to claw our way to the top of the pile, folks, and that's what this society is all about. It's very, very cleverly constructed to keep us on the edge and to keep us in this state so that we're always divided. I mean, this is why so many people don't even know what's really going on in the world, because they don't have time to look, because they're so busy running on the treadmill. And that's what this society is all about. You see, that's one of the major problems that we face, folks, is that people are so busy. Even if you want to tell them what's going on, they simply don't have time to listen because they're so busy running at work. And when they finish work, they don't really want to sit down and listen to the problems of the world. They want to just relax and drink beer and watch television or whatever it is that they do to relieve the stress of the day. And it's cleverly designed to be this way, to keep people in this state so they simply won't pay attention when you need them to. And half the time it isn't because they don't want to, it's because they simply are too stressed to. They've simply got more important things to do, like relax, because they have had such a stressful day. And that's the whole foundation of this society, folks. That's what keeps us in this state, because we're constantly on the treadmill and we simply don't have time to listen to what other people want to say to us. So it's breaking that mentality, and that's a very difficult, you know, and it's understandable, folks. I mean, people just want to have some fun in their lives. They want to have something enjoyable happen in their lives. And once they've finished a stressful day's work and you come along and tell them that, hey, by the way, the world's run by criminals and they're all trying to kill us and everything's really, really bad, it's really not what people want to hear, you know. And under normal circumstances, they would. Under normal circumstances, they'd be very concerned about all of this. But when you get them at the end of work, they just don't want to know about it. They just want to sit down and relax and let the woes of the day flow away from them. And it's really interesting, because when you look at people's jobs, most of the stress that they're feeling is completely unnecessary. Most of the time, people spend their lives worried about stuff which is completely useless and stuff that you don't need to be worried about at all. I mean, really, when you look at cities, folks, you've got a whole bunch of people running around really fast doing absolutely nothing of importance at all. And yet they all believe that it's really important what they're doing. They must rush across town to get these documents to a certain place on time, and everything must be done according to the clock and according to the books. And it's all so meaningless and all so useless. It really doesn't do anything to improve our lives. It doesn't do anything to improve the situation of the world. It just keeps us running around, not looking at what's going on around us. It's all one big distraction, folks. That is the main purpose of cities, just to keep people distracted and keep people running around doing stuff that they think is important when really it's not. And what is important really is the people's lives, and this is what they're missing out on because they're so busy doing other things. Cities are also a very effective mechanism for convincing people that overpopulation is real, when of course it isn't. The Earth could sustain far, far more people than it currently does. The only reason we have any problems at all is because of monoculture, monocropping, you know, the way we farm, which is really, really damaging to our environment. And, you know, the people in cities are taught not to be able to look after themselves, but it's the way people are pressed into these compact, compartmentalized pockets of civilization as well. You know, you cram a lot of people into a city and it looks like there's a lot of people around them, because there is, but it's because they're all in a concentrated area. You know, when you look between the cities, it's vast empty spaces with no people there, and you could have little houses with a quarter acre or an acre block around them with permaculture, everybody with their edible food forested they're living in, and you wouldn't have any of this problem at all. You know, the Earth is not overpopulated at all, it's just badly managed, and this management is done by design. And when you look at the species and consider that this is a farm, and that the human race is being farmed, it makes very good sense to do things this way, because it promotes these misconceptions in people's minds, which of course gives you the ability to control these people. And that's the way it's all done, folks. You know, everything we're told is backwards. The world isn't overpopulated at all. It's just that people are pushed into these concentrated pockets of civilization, and so they think it is. And people have been trained to become totally dependent upon the system. You know, you're not trained to have any real life skills through the scholastic system. This isn't what they teach you to do. What they teach you to do is be a functional little cog in the big machine and to work for a wage. They don't teach you how to get from A to B through your life. They don't teach you how to become a better human being. They don't give you life skills. They don't teach you how to grow your own food and how to survive in the wild and how to fend for yourself. They teach you what to think and how to be dependent upon others. We must work as one cohesive unit. This is the way they present it, folks. And really, what they're trying to do is to get you working as a slave for a wage your entire life. You'll find most of the entrepreneurs that have really made a difference in the world, people such as Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, people who've constructed very profitable and very creative businesses, most of these people never went to college. Half of them never even finished high school. You know, it's the training that you receive at high school and college which programs you to be a wage slave. And you'll find that that's what these people also promote. You know, Bill Gates says everybody should go to college, and he says this because he didn't go to college. He was able to think creatively and express himself according to his own parameters, and so he was able to excel. But he also knows that if you go to college and you're pushed into thinking under someone else's parameters, then you will not excel. You'll work for him as a wage slave. And that is the plan, folks, and that's why most of these entrepreneurs really promote college, even though they never went themselves. And this all contributes to the gradual dumbing down of society and the rise of the nanny state, folks. And we've seen the nanny state rising absolutely incredibly in the last few years. You know, the dumbing down of society so that they need the nanny state. And this might seem strange to you saying this, you know, how are you saying that society is being taught to be dumb when there are more people being told to go to college? It's because college does not train you to think. College does not train you to be smart. College is an indoctrination system, not an education system. High school and college train you what to think. High school and college teach you what to think. They don't teach you how to think, and that is the problem. And it is a government-controlled education system, folks. And when you look at it and you realize there's less and less people leaving college that are actually able to read and write properly, and you understand that this is all controlled by government and the government gets what the government pays for, then you realize that society is being systematically dumbed down. And this is creating the need for the nanny state, and it's creating the situation where people are openly embracing the nanny state because they cannot do the most basic things themselves simply because they're not being taught how to do these things. And people are just being taught to be dumb. It's absolutely incredible. You're getting signs that tell you to do the most basic things in life, as if you didn't know how to do these things already. You know, you're just assumed to be stupid. Even the new computer systems assume that you're stupid, and they do everything for you, stuff that you really don't want them to do, and stuff that you want to do yourselves. You know, we're in a society where you're basically not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to learn how to fend for yourself. You're not allowed to learn how to think for yourself. Everything is done for you. And that is very dangerous, folks, and that is what is allowing us to be led down this garden path the way we are. So people have to start thinking outside of the box a little bit and realize that, as I've said many times, the world is just run by people. That's the thing. It's just run by people. And when you really step back and look at the world and look at the state that we're in, you know, why would we expect these politicians to make anything better? Because it's the politicians that have brought us to the point that we are now. You know, I've said many times, it doesn't matter what problem that you're looking at, whether it's environmental degradation, whether it's the fact that you've got to pay to park outside of your own house, you know, whether it's some new road being built through your property, whether it's a gas well being built in your backyard, whatever the problem is that you're facing in your society, it's a result of legislation that governments and politicians have put in place. All of these wars, all of the human trafficking that happens, in the human trafficking that's happening in Libya right now, how did this happen? This happened because of government legislation that allowed the destruction of the state of Libya under false pretenses and allowed it to be turned into a failed state, and the fact that nobody's doing anything about it. You know, you got the United States here pretending to stand up for human rights. Oh dear, it's terrible that people are being gassed in Syria, even though there's no proof of this, and so we go and bomb more people in Syria. when right next door over the ocean in Libya, you've got women being openly sold in slave markets in the town square because of Western intervention. And don't let that slip out of your mind, folks. The reason Libya is a failed state, the reason women are being sold in the market square, is because of Western intervention, mainly because of the actions of Hillary Clinton. That is what has caused all this to happen. There's been so much human suffering that's happened because of Western intervention, and all we do is continue to support Western intervention. It's ridiculous, you know, this anti-Muslim rhetoric that's being whipped up by so many people, you know, which is providing the excuse the state needs to keep escalating this war and keep bombing Muslim countries and keep creating more terrorists and creating more refugees and flooding Europe with migrants and everything they're doing. This is happening because we continue to bomb the Middle East. We bomb Somalia. We bomb Yemen. We bomb Syria. We bomb anybody who looks at us funny. We bomb them. And we threaten countries that want to stand up for themselves, such as North Korea. I mean, imagine being in North Korea, seeing what America has done to the world, and having this nation now threatening you and claiming that you are the threat because you're looking at people saying, well, actually, we'd like to have a military and defend ourselves. This is apparently a bad thing if you are not running the world, because that's the way America looks at things. But no one's allowed to defend themselves. No one's allowed to have anything that may stand up against U.S. hegemony. Well, should I say Israeli hegemony, because that is who is running the United States. And it's just ridiculous, folks. But all this happens because we're so distracted and we allow it. And we've forgotten that all that we're dealing with here is other people. You know, these governments are just an idea. It isn't something that's real, folks. It's just an idea. It's just buildings populated by people, essentially by a criminal class. That's what we've got, folks. As I've often said, our governments are a criminal class. And if you need any confirmation of that fact, then just look around you at the state of the world today and realize that everything that we're facing, every problem we've got, exists because of governments and legislation which has allowed it. These are people that we appoint to positions of leadership and positions of trust, and they are all in breach of that trust. They are all in abuse of their office, and they all need to be removed, and we need to have something more sane put in place. It's just deciding what that thing is that we replace it with. I mean, ultimately, anarchy would be the best way to go. You know, self-governance, voluntarism would be the best way to go. But of course, we need a transitional period to get to that. So what we need to do at the moment is to populate our governments with honest people who will shift us back in the right direction and reduce the size of government to the point that we don't need it anymore. We need a vast re-education of the people, but we need people in government who will call things out for what they are. And Donald Trump most certainly is not doing that, and the mainstream media is most certainly not informing people. So these two organizations, government and media, need to be replaced immediately by people of some substance, people of some honesty, people who are going to help shift the world in the right direction. The question is, how do we do that? You know, we're not going to do it by voting. I'd say we do it by not voting. I'd say we do it by all boycotting the system and simply standing in solidarity as one united people and saying we've had enough of this rubbish. And really, I think everybody has. The problem is that there's no focus on the actual problem. Everyone's too concerned with their symptoms. Everyone wants to march for women's rights, or march for black rights, or march for gay marriages, or march for whatever it is the problem that they think is it is they're marching for. You know, like I said, folks, any problem that you're marching for, anything that you think is an issue that you want to stand up for, is simply a symptom of systemic corruption. It's a symptom of our failure to accept other people for being what they are. The combining of acceptance and tolerance, as I spoke about on a show a couple of weeks ago. You know, all of it is because of our tolerance of wrongdoing, our tolerance of wrong behavior, and our tolerance of the world being run by a criminal class, because we're ultimately too scared to do anything about it. We're too scared to stand up and speak because we're not sure if our neighbors will support us in what we say, and we know that if they don't, then the police and the government will come along with a big hammer and they'll bang us on the head. And that's the problem. That's why you have to develop a relationship with your community, develop a relationship with the people around you, so that you can stand up and you will know that these people will stand with you, because ultimately all you're speaking is common sense. You know, ultimately, folks, I think everybody knows this. I think everybody knows the world is run by criminals. I think everybody knows the system is utterly corrupt and everybody wants to do something about it. They're just too scared to speak out because they don't believe they have the support of the people around them. And generally they don't, because the people are so distracted and all of this is done by design. But you know, if you were to help these people, if you were to start doing things for them and maybe relieve the stress on their lives a little bit and become their friends, maybe they wouldn't be so distracted. Maybe they'd listen to you and maybe we'd all be able to stand up together. That is my great hope anyway, and it's always been my great hope that people will simply stand up together and remove support for this system. You know, the system only stands up because we hold it up, folks. You know, non-compliance is the way to go. I've been saying this for almost 10 years on the radio now. One of the first films I put out was Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance. And really, that's the simple way out, folks. It really is, and there is no other way out. We hold the system up, and until we realize that, we're just going to continue to hold the system up. This is why I've been trying to organize this day of global non-compliance, one day a month, the 15th of every month. Just stay home, folks. And if you can't stay home, if you're in a position where, okay, you have to work, well, okay, but just don't spend any money on that day. You know, I'm not asking you to put your life on hold or to put yourself in a position where things will become dangerous for you. But if you just don't use your credit card that day, don't buy anything, don't support the economic system. You know, people could still go to work on that day, but just don't spend any money at all. That would be a good thing. Imagine that. Even that would make a difference, folks, if you are afraid of losing your job or anything like that, you know, because it's that sort of a situation that we're in. People will threaten you and all this sort of stuff. You know, if you tell your boss that you're going to support this day of non-compliance and you're taking the day off, he might threaten to sack you. And it might end up that you're in a bad position in your life because you listened to what Max said on the radio. And that's not what I'm after. That's not what I want. What I want is for people to realize that it's us holding the system up. And any way we can remove support for the system for that one day is going to make a difference. But the most important way we can remove support from it is to remove economic support from it. Because the economic system is what holds the whole thing together. You know, the money system is the catalyst. It's the glue that holds the whole thing up. And if we don't support this economic system, then it all falls down. So even not spending money for a day and not using your credit card for a day is going to make a difference. And you shouldn't use your credit card anyway, folks. I've said this so many times. When you go shopping, draw cash out and shop with cash. Just don't use their machines. Don't support this digital control grid that is coming online, because it's our passive acceptance of it that allows it to happen. You know, we can sit there and we can complain about the system. We can complain about the AI grid. We can complain about everything that's happening all we want. But if we continue to support it and just passively use these little conveniences that they bring into our lives, then we're just endorsing our own slavery. We're the ones that are bringing it on because we're allowing it to happen, because we're just supporting it. You know, all this stuff is presented to us by means of convenience. You know, everything's on your smartphone. Your whole life is on your smartphone. You can do everything from your phone. All this is doing, folks, is centralizing control. It's putting your entire life in one little package so that if ever they want to shut you down, they can do it with one little swoop and one little package. That's the way it is, and that's why they're doing it this way. And when it becomes all digital, and money becomes all digital, and it's all just existing in a virtual world, then all your wealth is not real. All your wealth only exists in a virtual world. All the stuff that you believe is what makes you you only exists in a virtual world. Now, you see these old movies they put out years ago, like the movie Surrogate, where the people were just lying in these sloth-like containers and living these sloth-like lives while they had simulations of themselves wandering around, mannequins of themselves, cyborgs of themselves wandering around living their lives for them. This is the sort of stuff we're heading to, the sort of stuff where we rate each other according to our Instagram pictures, the sort of life where we live a completely false reality and we are completely disconnected from the world. Now, the more we immerse ourselves in the virtual world, the less attention we pay to the real world around us, and the more the real world deteriorates, and the more our life deteriorates around us. You know, the best thing you can do for yourself, folks, really, is to disconnect from the system in every way that you can. And I'm not saying get off the internet or anything like that. Just stop using their AI system. Stop using their control grid. Stop using their credit cards. Stop using their smartphones. get back to reality, folks. There is a real world outside, and there are real people out there in that world, and we are just not interacting with this enough anymore. We're really not. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face, because we're allowing all this stuff to happen around us because we're so locked into these screens all the time, and we're not actually participating in the world around us. And the thing is, folks, as I've often said, the best way to participate in some sort of action against this system is via non-participation. You know, you don't need to occupy Wall Street. You need to occupy yourself, because we already occupy the entire earth. We just don't occupy ourselves, and we don't respect ourselves, and so we don't respect the people around us, and there's the problem, and that's the solution as well. You know, it really would be easy to find a way out of this mess, folks, if we simply withdrew support from it. And if we don't do that, nothing else is going to matter. You know, I've often said, you know, you don't need anyone to write out a game plan for freedom. You don't need anyone to create a system that will be better than this one. Because if we haven't changed what's in ourselves, then it isn't going to matter what sort of a system anybody creates. We're just going to end up back where we are now, because we refuse to see the obvious. And the obvious is that our tolerance of wrong behavior, our tolerance of wrongdoing, our respect for authority where it shouldn't be. And we shouldn't have respect for the authority of people who are corrupt. We shouldn't have a respect for a system which is prepared to discard humanity to the extent that this one does. We shouldn't have any of these things, folks. We need to wake up to ourselves. And once we do that, it's simple. You know, you just don't tolerate this stuff. You step away from it. You know, you don't turn a blind eye to the face of evil. You simply don't give it any energy. You know, when you get this whole thing about where attention goes, energy flows, they don't realize that they're giving attention and energy to this system all the time by their compliance to it. It isn't turning away that removes the energy from it. It's by removing the actual energy from it, by removing compliance for the system from the system. You don't turn away in the face of evil. You face it and you remove the support mechanism that this evil has. That's how it works. And it's our failure to do that that allows it to continue. You know, and we're at a time at the moment, folks, where we really need to wake up to ourselves and realize just what we're facing here. You know, the world is run by criminals. It's run by psychopaths. And that's evident by the mere state of the societies that we live in and the mere state of the world that we live in. And it doesn't matter what you think the world is. The fact is that it's a prison. It doesn't matter about any other aspect of it at the moment. You know, what really matters is freeing ourselves and finding some sort of emancipation from this prison, some sort of emancipation from this slavery system. Now stop working as a wage slave and cast yourself to the wind. This is a limited hangout anyway. What do you care? You know, you can make a difference while you're here if you refocus things on life a little bit. You know, get the focus off this monetary system, the focus off this need to grab a big pile of stuff and sit on the top of it at the end of your life. I mean, what's that all about? It doesn't really get us anywhere, folks. What we have to do is remove support for the system and get back in touch with our humanity. I think once we do that, we'll see just how easy it would be to really change the world. But hey, what do I know? Perhaps I'm just a bumbling old fool. Perhaps I'm just some sort of idealist who thinks that the human race is worth more than what it really is. But I don't think so, folks. I think we can get through this. I think we are worth more than what we're taught we're worth. I just hope we wake up to ourselves in time. Well, we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks. Thank you to all the people who came to the Regeneration gig last weekend in California. It really was a great gig. We had a wonderful day, really, really good group of speakers and a really wonderful group of attendees. So thank you to all the people who came to that. I will be speaking in Calgary, Canada on May the 14th, folks. So I'm looking forward to that one. If you're someone in Canada, please do come along to that gig. It's the only gig that I'm going to be doing in Canada. A lot of people have written to me and said, oh, you're going to be doing one in Vancouver. No, unfortunately, I'm not. The only gig I'll be doing is Calgary, and that will be the only time I'm appearing in Canada. Until, well, I'm not really sure when, folks. Maybe 2020, but I'm not even sure that I'll be back in 2020. So do come along to that gig if you possibly can. I was supposed to speak at a chemtrail conference in Portland, Oregon on May 7th, but there's been a little bit of a mix-up with flights, and so I'm not going to be able to make that gig, unfortunately. If you were coming to see me in Portland, I'm sorry about that, but I'm not going to be there. But it's going to be a good conference anyway, so I'd suggest you go and check it out. There's going to be a lot of good speakers. I really do wish I could make that one, but unfortunately I will already be in Canada, and it's a little bit difficult to get back to Portland the next day after flying to Canada the day before. So it's just not going to happen. But maybe I'll be able to do that at a later date, perhaps in 2020 when I come back this way. If I come back this way in 2020, that is, as I said. But I will be continuing on from Canada to England, and I'll be speaking at the AV8 conference in England, and I'll be also speaking at a gig in Swindon the following week on the 28th. You'll find a banner to that on my website, and I'll get a little promo video out for the gig in Canada and the gig in Swindon as well, a little bit further down the track. That should be pretty soon. I'll get something out to let you know where these events are and where you can find me. After that, I've got quite a few things on, and I will eventually be speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Denmark around about September of this year as well. And something else that is happening later in the year in November is I will be doing another month of Kambo workshops in Hawaii on the Big Island at the Earth Song Eco Retreat, where I did the workshops in March. I'll put a banner for that up on the website when I have more information, when they've constructed a section for that on their website and it's all finalized and the dates are confirmed and when it's all going to take place. But do keep a lookout for that one. And if you're someone who's ever wanted to partake in the Kambo medicine, then November on the Big Island in Hawaii might be something that you will be interested in looking into, and you'll also catch up with me while I'm there. In fact, I will be the one who is serving you Kambo. So if you have wanted to do Kambo, folks, do keep an eye out for that one. Again, I'll put a banner up on the website once one becomes available. But as I said, folks, that is it for me. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. Thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. It's the only thing that keeps me going, folks. It's the only thing that gets these reports coming out every week. And I'm going to try to do a few more reports, perhaps a few 5 or 10 minute reports during the week as well, once I get a little bit of free time. That should happen after I've finished the gigs in England, or perhaps even while I'm doing some of this tour. I'll try to get some reports out from various places around the world as I'm traveling, so you can see what's going on the ground wherever I happen to be. But thank you to all the people who support the website and support the Patreon account, and thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails and who share the YouTube clips and share the Facebook posts and all that sort of stuff. I'm also trying to move off Facebook a little bit, folks. I'm trying to move over to Scene Is a little bit. I'm still trying to get some forums worked out for the website, but it's proving to be quite a difficult task. I don't think they want you to have forums these days. I think they would much prefer people to be using social media, because it's so much easier to track people's movements and conversations via social media. So it's interesting to see, as I said earlier in the show, how they are squeezing the truth out and making it much more difficult to find, and they are making everybody so much more easy to track and to keep tabs on. And they want to keep tabs on all conversations, folks, not just some of them, but all of them, and it's important people know that everything you say digitally, everything that you do digitally, every transaction you make, every conversation you have, every Skype conversation, every photograph you take, every phone call you make, all of it is tracked, all of it is stored, and every single digital device out there is accessible remotely. Cameras can be turned on, microphones can be turned on in your computers and on your cell phones, whether the computer or cell phone is on or not. And it's very important that people realize this. That's what we're facing, folks, and we are on a knife edge at the moment. So it's up to you which way you want to go. And really, it's up to us which way we want to go, but I think we are facing a time of enormous opportunity, because never before in the history of the world has the system been laid so bare, and never before have we had access to so much information. Never before have we had the means to unite and coordinate the people, and never before have we had the means to be able to organize a coordinated strike of non-compliance against this system. And we have the opportunity to call things out for what they are, folks. So we're on a knife edge at the moment. The choice is up to each individual out there. The choice is up to you which way you choose mankind should go. All you've got to do is get involved, you know, become active, because that's really what life is about, folks. It's about being active. So get involved and spread the word, and let's make a difference in the world. But that's it for me, folks. Again, thank you to everybody who supports the website, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. I should be able to get a show out next week, maybe a little bit few and far between over the next couple of weeks while I'm traveling, I'll try to get them out to you. But that is it for me for now, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you as soon as I'm able. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.